this morning. Chapter number 26, the book of Acts, chapter number 26. If you're willing and able today, if you'd stand, we'll honor the reading of the Word of God found in the book of Acts, chapter number 26. I appreciate the teaching Wednesday night. I'm glad if you're thirsty, there is a drink that you can take this morning. Flowing from Calvary's cross, where Jesus died for sinners. And I'm so thankful that Jesus is the water of life, the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me, is what Jesus said. If you take a poll in America, they'd tell you there are many ways to the gate. This Bible says there's one way, and He is the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now watch your Bibles, Acts 26, verse 1. There's some characters that appear within this text. I want you to be familiar with them. Then I'm going to read one of the last verses, and you can be seated. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, "Thou art permitted to speak for thyself." Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself. He said these words, "I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee touching all the things whereof I'm accused of the Jews." Verse 13. Paul's testimony. He said, "I want to tell you what happened to me." I want to ask you today, just as an old country preacher, have you got a story to tell? At midday, he knew when it happened to him. "At midday, O King, I saw on the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. When we were all fallen to earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying in the Hebrew tongue, 'Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks.' And I said, 'Who art thou, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus whom thou persecutest.'" Now, watch your Bible in verse 24. Paul is on trial. He's standing before two men, King Agrippa, and he's standing before Festus, who is the governor of the land. He said in verse 22, "Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue to this day witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light to the people and to the Gentiles." As he first spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, "Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doeth make thee mad." But he said, "Well, I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner." Verse 27 and 8, and you can be seated. "King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest." This same very famous verse that the song has been written. "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, 'Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian.'" You may be seated this morning. Father, we love you. We thank you for this time at your house. Lord, I know you've laid this passage in the recesses of my heart. And I pray that you let preaching be easy this morning. I pray that there be one here lost, that you would deal with their hearts. I pray the Spirit of God would convict the sinner this morning. God not only convict, but God convince them, convert them by the gospel. Thank you for the goodness of God. Thank you for the kindness of your people. And God says that it's already been prayed and asked, help our nation today. God, help our president. I pray that you'd bind every force of hell that's coming against this nation. Dear God, would you help us as Christians to stand up the bloodstained banner of Calvary's cross. Help us now in this preaching today. In Jesus' name I ask you, amen and amen. I want to preach on this subject today, found in verse 28. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. I want to preach on this simple subject today on almost persuaded. Almost persuaded. Now in this text, you'll have to read chapters 24 and 5 to lead up to 26. And as I begin to study and ponder those passages, I come to find out there are some very prominent Bible characters that it is telling us about in this segment of Scripture. As I've already said, King Agrippa, he was king over the whole land. There was a governor there that was named Felix. That's an easy name to remember. Felix also, he sat under the king in his governorship. So the religious people, the high priest, the chief of the Jews, they came and they grabbed a hold of Paul wanting to kill him. They were threatening him. They didn't like what he was preaching. You know what he was preaching? The law won't get you to heaven, but Jesus will. He was preaching that Jesus had went to Calvary and died for the sins of the world. And on the third day, by the power of the resurrection, he's rose over death, hell, and the grave. And those religious people, they didn't like that new message. They like to be stuck in the law. Reminds me of a lot of Baptists. Honey, you're never going to work your way to God. If you get to heaven, you'll be saved by grace through faith. That's the only way you're going this morning. So there was a great religious party that rose up against one of the greatest men that ever lived behind Jesus, the Apostle Paul. So we have King Agrippa as the king. We have Felix that was in place, but a man appears in our Bible named Festus. I could remember him because I like gun smoke. Somebody say amen. I can remember that name. And so Festus came and he took over Felix's position. And so what had happened was simply this. Felix had brought an accusation against Paul. They had him in trial. And Felix didn't want to deal with it, so he welcomed this new man, Festus, to come in. So we find Paul now in a great trial. I wonder, has anybody ever been through a trial? Somebody said this morning in prayer room that all things work together for good to those that love God, for we know that all things. Can I tell you that the Apostle Paul was being on trial by man? But God was doing something in his life that only this trial could bring. I want to remind you today, the trials are not accidents. But God develops character. God develops people out of great trials. So Paul, he's under a great trial. We have in this setting King Agrippa. We have there Festus, the new governor. There's another Bible character I want you to look at in Acts 25 and 23. Her name was Bernice. You don't hear much about this woman. You know why? Because she is a wicked woman. She was a hooch. Somebody say amen. The Bible said, and on the morrow when Agrippa was come, Bernice with great pomp was entered in the place of hearing with the chief captains and principal men of the city. At Festus, commanding Paul was brought forth. Preacher, tell me about this Bernice. Well, she was King Agrippa's sister. But she was also playing the role of his wife. Great wickedness. These Herodians, they'd had a lineage of wickedness that was handed all the way down to King Agrippa. Matter of fact, King Agrippa, the one that Paul was testifying before, his great-grandfather, when Jesus was born, Herod the Great, he had sent out a decree to kill all the male children there in the land. Remember that? So this was King Agrippa's great-granddaddy that did this terrible act. And then Agrippa's uncle, guess who he killed? He beheaded John the Baptist. Then Agrippa's daddy, guess who he killed? He beheaded James, the great servant of the New Testament church. So there was a great lineage of wickedness in Agrippa's life. He's living with his sister as his wife. That's all messed up. Somebody say amen. My goodness, in this new woke society, it'd be all right. But I come to tell you this morning, sin is still sin. You can't push sin under the rug and get by with it. America's paying for her sins this morning. So here we see in this text, there's a great trial. I like what he says. He says now in 26 in verse 1, Agrippa said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. And look what Paul does. He stretched forth his hand and answered for himself. Paul was a very animated preacher. He wouldn't stand still very much. He put out his hand and he said, I'm glad you got me on trial. And since I'm on trial, I'm going to give you my testimony. Can I tell you, it would do us all good in the trials of life to tell people about our testimony. And by the way, do you have a testimony? Have you been saved by the grace of God? Did you join a church? Did you say a pledge? Or have you been born again by the good grace of God? I'm glad I got a testimony this morning. So we see this great trial. I want to give you this little nugget. He said that you're permitted to speak for yourself. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 3 and 15. I want to share this with you this morning. 1 Peter 3 and 15. There the Bible says simply this, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and in fear. I'm glad I can speak for myself. I'm glad my mama don't have to tell me, now honey, you joined the church when you was a baby and you was all right. Some preacher sprinkled you and so you know you'll be all right. I want to tell you something. Jesus is a lot bigger than that. I'm glad I got a story to tell this morning that He saved me by the good grace of God. And so here in this text, almost persuaded, there was a trial. Paul spoke for him. Saith. Can I tell you that salvation is an individual thing? If you don't have a testimony this morning, Jesus can give you one. If you'd simply come to Him realizing you are a sinner, repent of your sins, and trust Him to be your Savior. He can give you a real testimony this morning. So it takes me in the second part of the text. Not only is there a trial, but I read it, there is a testimony. Paul had something to say in verse 13. Now, everybody don't have to be saved like Paul, but I want to say this. Everybody ought to have an experience with Jesus. Did you know the woman that had an issue of blood? She simply reached out by faith and touched the hem of His garment. Here in Acts chapter number 9 on the Damascus Road, Paul was a very wicked man. Did you know how wicked he was? If Paul came into an assembly like this, he would come in, he'd get the preacher, he'd get the leadership out. He'd get the choir leader, the song leader, the pianist. He'd take us all back to Jerusalem and try us, whip us and beat us. Try to get us to deny the name of Jesus. He was a reckless man. I mean, he was a thug if it's ever been a thug. But let me tell you something. I come to tell you today, Jesus is still saving old sinners. He come to him on that Damascus road. He was welcoming these buddies going to Jerusalem to arrest Christians. And all of a sudden, he says in this passage, about midday, O King, there was a light shine from heaven suddenly, brighter than the noonday sun. And I fell to the ground and I said, Lord, what will you have me to do? Lord, who are you? Can I tell you, if you want to know who Jesus is this morning, he'll tell you who he is. And so Paul was converted on the Damascus Road. We all know that in Acts 9. He gives this great testimony. But I want to labor on this, and I want to close where I want to get to preaching. But this is what I want you, really want you to see. Do you have a testimony? If you was put on trial, would there be enough evidence to convict you as being a born-again Christian? The Bible said he told them, he said, at midday, O King, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me, and then was journeyed with me. When we were fallen to earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me. Has the Lord ever spoke to you? Has he ever told you and convinced you that you were lost and you needed a Savior? The Bible said, when we were all fallen to earth, I heard a voice, look, not speaking to us, but speaking to me. Salvation is an individual thing. I heard him speaking to me. So he gives this great testimony. Now, thirdly, almost persuaded, not only this trial and not this only this testimony, but now look at this truth. When he falls to the earth, he falls upon his face or his knees and he calls upon the Lord. God said something to him that I want us to see this morning. Look at this, not only this testimony, but now look at this truth in verse 17. Verse 18 is loaded. The Bible said, the Lord says, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles whom now I send thee. Here it is, the great truth. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Now, preacher, we've seen the trial and the testimony. What about this truth? What did the Lord just tell Paul about this truth? We said, first of all, when you get saved, look in verse 18, it always brings freedom. He said that it would simply do this, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. Aren't you glad the day the Lord saved you, He brought freedom. He delivered you from the power of darkness. You wonder why this world's acting so crazy? They're under the power of darkness. They are blinded. And oh, how they need to see the light. And this morning, we see that this truth brings freedom. What truth, preacher? Salvation. Jesus, not religion, but Jesus brings freedom. Look in verse 18. It also brings forgiveness to turn them from darkness to light, the power of Satan unto God. Watch, this is amazing, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. I'm glad I'm forgiven. There's nothing on my record today that'll keep me out of heaven. You hear me? Because the blood of Jesus has washed away all my sins. You see, this great truth, salvation, it brings freedom. It brings forgiveness. Look in verse 18. It brings fulfillment. He said that you may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them. Inheritance? Yeah, you know, the Bible tells us that when we are saved by the grace of God, we become joint heirs with Jesus. Boy, isn't that something? We have everything that He has. What do you need this morning? Can I tell you, heaven's not bankrupt today. Gas may go to $12.50, but let me tell you, Jesus is still in business. And so He said this great inheritance. Aren't you glad that you're in a royal family by the grace of God today? So it brings fulfillment, receive an inheritance. Then look in verse 18. This is something our church has got to get back to. It brings fellowship. He said they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified. There's nothing like being with brothers and sisters in Christ. There's a young man in prayer room this morning. I appreciate his honesty. You know, if there's anything wrong with modern day preachers, they're not honest. Can I tell you? We all need the Lord, and a lot of times the devil comes where we live, where we work, where we go to church to try to discourage us and take us out of the race. But aren't you glad we got some brothers and sisters in Christ that we can come together and be encouraged? Hear the old songs of Zion, not achy, breaky heart, but hear something about Calvary and the blood of Jesus. It's just something about the fellowship of the church house that helps us in this day and this hour. Oh, I'm glad this morning that I am in fellowship with Christ and the saints of God. And then verse 18, notice it brings a great focus. May receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith. And here it is, that is in me. May we focus all about Him in every day of our life. It's not about me and you, but it's simply about Him. God's Son who went to Calvary's cross for you and me. Now notice lastly, and this is where I want to preach at this morning. Almost persuaded. There's a trial, there's a testimony, there's a truth, but in verse 8:28, look at this great tragedy. I want you to think about this a minute as I close this message, this great tragedy. Paul said in 27, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Now, I want you to notice this tragedy. And think about it just a second, the reality of almost. He said, I want you to know, almost thou persuadest me. Almost. Paul, I've been thinking about what you said, and almost you persuade me to be a Christian. I wonder how many people has ever walked out of this sanctuary almost persuaded. Now, I want to give you these thoughts. The reality of almost. What is the reality, preacher? First of all, in verse 26, there's the reality. There was the persuasion of the Scriptures. For the king knoweth of these things, but for whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. So, King Agrippa heard the Scriptures. You know, I'd rather meet God lost out of the jungle of Africa than I had rather meet Him lost out of a Bible-believing church. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that Agrippa heard the Scriptures. Then secondly, the reality of this, not only did we see the persuasion of the Scriptures, but there's the persuasion of Paul. Look what he said in verse 26. This is where we need to get and underline it. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded. Paul had his mind made up. He was convinced. You know, a lot of you read reviews before you buy something. You ever noticed on your Amazon app, when you go to buy something, the first thing all of us do, let's look at the reviews. How'd it work out? Man, you shake your little Baptist head up and down this morning. You know I'm telling it right. I mean, there's been times, well, that sure does look good and I like that, but let me read the reviews. No, that was bad. Don't buy this. Don't buy this. And so you go to the next item. But you know, as Agrippa, not only hearing the Scriptures, he is hearing what Paul said. Paul said, I am persuaded. Can I tell you, if you read the review on your life and my life, we ought to put the review out that we are persuaded and there's nobody good as Jesus. Nobody good as Jesus. Religion will let you down. A preacher will let you down. But, honey, let me tell you, Jesus will never let you down. And so, the reality of this persuasion, he'd heard the Scriptures. He'd heard the testimony of Paul. And then look what he says. He also had the persuasion of Calvary. He said, and beside all this, none of these things was done in a corner. He said, Agrippa, you know when Christ went at Calvary, he went up on a hill, and you know about that story. You know about it all. It wasn't done in a corner. Can I tell you something? May we lift Christ high and holy this morning. That everybody comes in the house, he's not pushed in the corner. But he is high and he's lifted. That's the reality of his persuasion. But then secondly, I want us to look at this text. It's so powerful. Not only the reality of almost, but what about the reasons of almost? Why? Let me ask y'all this subject. Why could a man sit there and listen to the Scriptures and listen to the testimony of Paul and being very aware of Calvary? Why would he still say, I'm almost persuaded to be a Christian? Could I tell you perhaps that the reason of this almost was there was a corruption problem. A corruption problem. Now you think about who he is. He's King Agrippa. What I tell you about Bernice? They're living in a very weird relationship. His sister as his wife. Could it be one reason that he was almost persuaded is because of a corruption problem? Can I tell you, there's a lot of people never saved because the sin that they're living in. They don't want to give up their sin. He might got to thinking, you know, if I get saved, I got to get out of this crazy relationship. I wonder, you know, if I get saved, I got to quit acting like the devil. And can I tell you, it's still right. When you get saved, you'll quit living for the devil. Y'all act like y'all never had no preaching. This Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, but behold, all things are become anew. I really believe the reason many people are almost persuaded they don't want to turn loose of their sin. But don't you realize that your sin is so harming? Your sin brings destruction. And I realize, I just didn't roll in here on a turnip truck. I know sin is fun, but it's for a season. You hear me? It's for a season. And the wages of sin is death. Your sin's going to find you out. So could it be that he had a corruption problem? He didn't want to give up his sin. Can I tell you the greatest day of my life is when I gave up my sin and reached out to the Savior. I wonder today, are you tired of living a life of sin? A life of lie? A life of put on? There he is, living in a strange situation. Could it be that he had a corruption problem? But then secondly, could it be that he had a courage problem? You know, the man, the governor right under him, what he just told in this passage, don't miss it. He said, Paul, you're mad. You've lost it. You're cray-cray. Could it be that he had a courage problem thinking about if he got saved, what simply that Festus would think about it? I think the reason many people don't accept Christ is because they get to thinking, boy, what will my friends say? What will my acquaintances and my peers all say? I tell you what they'll say down in the heart. I wish I had what they had. They may put on a show and they may laugh and make fun of you. But let me tell you, when the rubber meets the road, they're going to wish that they had Jesus like you have. the reason for almost persuaded. Could it be a corruption problem? He wouldn't let go of his sin. Could it be a courage problem? He was afraid that Festus would make fun of him. If he accepted Christ, then would Festus look at him and say, "Well, you're mad also. You're crazy." Let me tell you something. I'm well aware there may be a lot of folks in Bowden, Georgia, that preacher Daniel is crazy. But I'm going to tell you one thing. Let them talk. Let them talk about you. Let your light shine before others. Be good to people. Forgive people. Show mercy as Jesus has showed mercy. You let them talk. You let them laugh. But Jesus will have the last laugh. That's what He said in the book of Psalms. I know in whom I believed, and I am persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that glorious day. Almost persuaded. Could it be that he had a courage problem? Could it be? Could it be that he had a corruption problem? But then lastly, could it be, you know what Paul's just told us, could it be that he had a cost problem? Look what he says right this verse. I didn't read it, and I'm done preaching. Agrippa said to Paul, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Paul said, "I would to God that thou, not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether." Now here it is, "such as I am, except these bonds." You know what Paul just said to King Agrippa? He said, "I wish everybody had what I had except these chains." They've got him cuffed. They've got him bound. And he said, "Agrippa, I wish you had everything I've got except these chains." And could Agrippa looked at those chains on his hands and he thought about this, "It's going to cost me too much to be a Christian." Can I tell you, it will cost you something. It cost God everything He had. And it's going to cost you some friends if you live for God. It may cost you a few business deals. But I found this in business through years. Somebody, I was reminded yesterday, somebody said, "There's no way you can do your job and tell the truth." I remember one day I stood for the truth and it hurt real bad. And I went to the store on the next visit. It just fell in my lap. Let me tell you, it does pay to serve God right this morning. Boy, the devil will tell you the cost is too much. Young people, let me tell you, Jesus paid the greatest price for you that any man could ever pay. He gave His life for you. Could it be that he had a corruption problem? He didn't want to give up his sin. Let me ask you, why do you want to continue to live in sin and where it's going to take you? A lot of you people, you look in Hollywood and you think, "My goodness, look at their lifestyle." Have you ever looked at them people when they're 40 and 50 years old? Get real quiet. Sin brings destruction. Could he have a corruption problem? Could he have a courage problem? What's people going to think? Could it have been a cost problem? It's going to cost me too much. Let me tell you something. There's nothing like serving Jesus. Nothing like serving Him. You folks that are saved, could you throw your hands to Him and say, "It's nothing like serving Jesus this morning"? Is there any around the house that throw their hands and say, "There's nothing like serving Jesus this morning"? The reality of almost and the reason of almost, but now the regrets of almost. I wrote this phrase down. All those that deny Him, they're all alike. And listen to this statement. All those who refuse to give up which they cannot keep in order to gain that which they cannot lose. All their regrets are the same. They make reasons, but so all are who refuse to give up which they cannot keep. You may own all the land. You may have all the toys. You may have the greatest family. But let me tell you something. When you leave this walk of life, you're leaving it all behind. You're not taking any of your toys with you. So those who refuse to give up which they cannot keep in order to gain that which they cannot lose, almost persuaded. Miss Sherry, I want you to come this morning. There was a song. One of the writers took this text and he wrote a song about it. Brother Mike, I got to thinking about these simple Bible characters, and I'm done preaching. I know I've been linked.